Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY22 results conference call of Motherson Sumi Systems Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vivek Chaand Sehgal. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the call for first quarter results for Motherson Sumi. In spite of having lost almost 21 days of production under the unfortunate circumstances of COVID, I think Motherson has delivered a very strong result. If you look at it in the perspective that you've lost almost a month, has almost gone without any production, almost globally. And we still achieved 16,700 crores worth of a top line, and our EBITDA and our debt, this thing has actually, debt to EBITDA has actually come down to 1.1. Under the circumstances, the board actually congratulated everyone and said, "Great job done," and we have to be very cautious and focused on the next quarter, the current quarter, and the next quarters coming. I think all of you already know about the business and all that, so I would ask Vaaman, Pankaj, and Kunal, and Gauba, all of these guys to also participate in answering any doubts if you have any. And thank you very much, and stay safe. Handing over back to you.
Thank you. So should we open for Q&A?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one at this time. First question is from the line of Kapil Singh from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my question is related to the operational updates that we have given in the press release. So one broader question is whether when we look at the margins for the company, are there any structural factors in your view, or these are all, you know, operational challenges? In particular, you know, we have shared that greenfield performance has improved. So if you could share some color over there as to, you know, where are we in terms of profitability for greenfield? Because, you know, the profitability for greenfields, I understand, has been lower than rest of the business. And therefore, even if the performance improves there, it, you know, the mix, plant-wise mix could be negative. So that's one area I wanted to understand. And similarly, for PKC, we've also mentioned about certain operational challenges. So this copper price pass-through, this takes place with how much lag? And, higher, you know, logistics and product launch costs, if you can share some color on that as well.
Okay, Kapil, thanks for the question. I think this is gonna be answered in three parts by Vaaman, and then Gauba, and then Pankaj, if that's okay with you.
Hi, Kapil. For the greenfield plants, you know, we keep calling them greenfields. I think now they have stabilized quite a bit, so they become part of our normal operation. So, to give you an idea, we talked about, of course, Kecskemét in Alabama, in the past. These two have done well. They continue to improve the profitability levels, and they're on a good path. Quite satisfied with how the local management team is continuing to build the capability over there and continue to show better performance. Out of these two plants, I think Hungary was a lot more affected with the customer, let's say, you know, rearrangement of of the program mixes and extended shutdowns because of the semiconductor shortage and other issues that they were facing. Alabama was slightly less, but yes, also affected. So we definitely did see an overall effect in all our plants. But these plants continued to hold ground strong and were able to bleed with the market as well and could limit the impact. So there is customer feedback that they would like to catch up in the following quarters post this August break, catch up on that lost production that they've had. And we're quite optimistic that moving into Q3 and Q4, like Pavel said, we have to be quite vigilant and the situation is quite dynamic. But we are hopeful that there will be a lot more stability in the following quarters. And we are not seeing any different impact on just these two plants or something like that. It's been an overall effect in all the plants. That's for S&P, and I'll hand over to Pankaj and Vavasar for talk about PKC.
Thanks, Swabhan, sir. Kapil, just to add, there is no structural change in the business model. And then the business model remains the same. As you have seen in the last quarter, the copper price reached the peak. And as Pankaj sir had explained in the previous call, that the copper content in case of a commercial vehicle is much, much higher. While there is no general rule in terms of the customer pricing lag, but normally you have 6 months adjustment kind of a situation in the commercial vehicle segment. So if the copper price remains stable, I mean, that is a question, and then you will see a good part of it being recovered from this quarter onwards. Pankaj, sir, you would like to go on?
So generally, it's like, 6 months average. So let's say from December to May, we'll start flowing in from 1st of July. That's how it works. Different customers, different models, but generally more or less 6 months averaging. And at current copper prices, it would mean that about 80% recovery would be there. And then coming quarters, it's 6 monthly impacts get negated. And in this period, we also had, supply chain constraints, component shortages, which have been for varied reasons impacted by the spatial polymers from Texas hurricanes, which had destroyed some of the facilities, and the suppliers of components have not been able to come back. And from there, as well as we had two new orders. One was supposed to start a year ago, but due to pandemic, the launch got delayed, and the second launch was to happen this year. Both of them finally coincided, and coupled with supply chain constraints, had a very big impact on us. So, which also took higher manpower costs and logistic costs, which are one time, which should slowly get eliminated through this quarter.
Thanks, sir. Secondly, I wanted to also know when we look at the performance for Q2 and Q3 onwards, is the situation getting better, or how would you like to guide us in terms of this whole issue that we are facing? Because some of the OEMs have come out and said that they are facing very large shortages as well in Q2. So do you see Q2 to be better or worse compared to Q1? And then are we getting a sense that from Q3 onwards things will start getting better?
Good question, Kapil. Your guess is as good as ours. But, there are two trends which are helping Mother Sun. One, whatever shortages are there, it's generally seen that the car makers are pushing it towards the higher upper-end models that they have because they have better realization with the same and the semiconductors or raisins or whatever shortages that they are. But having said that, we all have to be on our toes, and the product of Mother Sun are very wide, so everyone has the same. But if you have more questions on this, and tell me, I'll direct it to whomever you want.
In August, you will have some sense of how July and August is looking like, just directionally.
Okay, which product?
No, overall revenues.
Then you have to tell you, I wouldn't be able to help you on that, but if you are looking for some more, this thing can Pankaj,
no.
Can Muhammad?
Let me rephrase. I mean, what I'm saying is that we saw supply chain disruptions in June quarter. So is that a similar problem in the September quarter, or it could be a, are you seeing it to be a bigger problem in September quarter than the June quarter?
August is mostly holiday in Europe, so definitely there's some relief over there, if you can understand that. That should allow us to also, and all the car makers to also make sure that any of these shortages, any inventories that are missing can build up so that cars can be produced. I think the positive sign is that, look, the demand is very much there in a solid way. And even if you look at the IHS forecast and everything that you're seeing, the same stuff that the reports that we get, you know, it's saying that Q3 and Q4 should ease up. So I think definitely the last quarter has been, fourth quarter has been challenging. The second quarter continues to ease a little bit because of the holidays session and everything that we have. And that's why I think they're saying that, you know, from September onwards, things will get better. But it's a very dynamic situation. It's not something that we have visibility to, and neither do the car makers at this point. So everybody is just waiting for this August month for the holidays to finish, September to start, and that's where we'll look at those things. But we are working in the meantime to deal with the market. Definitely you've seen the impact of that in Q1. I think, we're coming out of a global pandemic. So the first quarter compared to last year, you can see we're already in a much, much better situation. I don't think people would have imagined that where we were sitting last year. So things, we are optimistic. Things are getting better, and we will get a better grip of the situation when things open up in September. Till then, it's your guess is as good as ours.
Thank you, Aman. Very helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any participants who wish to ask a question, then please press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Nitin Arora from Axis Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. You touch base on the model part that a lot of the OEMs wants the higher-end models to be made in the scenario of, you know, chip shortages are there. So just continuing with the couple's question, and sorry for that, I mean, just to understand one more thing on it, if I have read this correctly, more of the higher-end luxury cars are getting made across the plants versus the lower-end, and given your cost would have not moved, quarter on quarter, you cannot shut down the plant because it's a very dynamic situation. Cost cannot get cut on a quarter on quarter basis. Is it more of mix issue also, which has, I mean, the cost would have been higher and the higher end getting made, lower end is not getting that much made, and the demand also is a little weak in the lower end versus the luxury, so cost would have been hitting you more? Is that the right way to look at it, and this mix issue should start getting stabilized in the second half?
Well, there are too many moving parts in your question, so very difficult to hypothesize as to what your real question is. But
okay, I'll put it this way, sir. That if higher-end cars, higher luxury models of, let's say, any of your clients would have been made more, because a lot of the OEMs are saying that, you know, because of the lower chip shortage, we are making the higher-end models because the demand is very strong at those higher-end models. And at the lower end models, the demand would have been less. And I'm assuming your cost doesn't get apportioned according to the model which we are making. That must be at the plant level only, at the plant level cost. So I'm just trying to understand that once situation normalizes, when the chip shortage goes away, and as you rightly said, it's anyone's guess. So I'm just trying to understand more of a question, is Q2 a cautious part is just on this aspect? Nothing changes structurally.
So it depends upon the customer, but if you look at the basic difference between what is a smaller car and a bigger car, you can't say the smaller car demand is not there. the demand is there, but just that the customer allocates this more towards the higher end thing because he gets more realization from the same effort. So it's just related to that. I'm not saying that the small car makers are going to go out of business.
No, I think I'll just give you some more color. I think you have to understand that we're not making a static part, right? We are making instrument panels, door trims, wire harnesses, mirrors. So there's a lot of different products that are really going in, and that's why we've always said that, look, we don't believe in just looking at the margins. We believe in looking at the rows, because even some of the high premiumized vehicles, for us, perhaps there's more bottom parts for that. So you may think that the margin looks lesser, but actually the return on capital is higher. So it's a very complex question that you're asking. Because of our diverse portfolio, if you look at our customer split, if you look at our geography split, we're extremely diversified. So, you know, whatever you're trying to infer will not have a direct impact to us because of the advantage that we have of the, you know, diversification. And as you can see, that, you know, even though the volumes perhaps have come down substantially on the OEM side, our volumes have not come down as in the direct correlation of that because of the diversification of products that we have. So, you know, generally what you're trying to say does make sense, but it's not applicable in Motherson because of the high diversity in parts and customer portfolio and locations that we have. So we would need some really crazy gray computers to compute which models, because you have to understand, we're supplying to pretty much all the models out there. You know, we have some part of the other going in. So, you know, it helps to you know, take the pressure off when certain models are not doing well, even if they're in premium or lower end, because we have access to the other models as well.
Okay. And second, in terms of, you know, July and August, you know, versus an average of last quarter, what's the visibility OEMs are giving, you know, in terms of production? I mean, if you can throw us some light in terms of in the situation. So, for example, if earlier the production visibility was OEM was giving 30 days, and I'm just putting a raw example, if you can help us in that way, that right now the production visibility is less than 10 days because of this chip shortage, or it's, you know, closer to an average a month. So if you can throw some light on that, that'll be really helpful. Thank you.
No, that they give
sorry to interrupt you, sir. Your voice is breaking.
Sorry, can you hear me now?
Yeah, there's a slight break, sir.
Can you hear me now? Is it without break now?
Thank you.
So I was going to say, look, there's no change in the way the customer is giving us the outlook. So they were giving us 30 days, they're still giving us 30 days. But there are changes that happen within those 30 days, which is dynamic, is what we're seeing. So it's not that, you know, they've stopped giving us outlooks, but they're also saying, look, the chip situation is a bit dynamic. So what we are giving you for 30 days is changing as they're giving it. So they give 30 days, they give a week, they give daily. For us, we're also receiving every 2 hours for some of the exact specs that we need to make. So there's more uncertainty in what's changing, and that's what's difficult for us to plan around, because you can imagine the workforce, etc., you need time to be able to be more flexible, be with the market, rearrange shifts. But if you get a change in the morning shift for the night shift, it's very difficult to go around and change all of that. So it's a dynamic situation. And again, it's not something that is usual. And what they're saying is that this should settle down as we move into the next quarter.
Thank you, Vaman. Thank you so much for your answers.
Thank you. Participants, please press star and one if you wish to ask a question. The next question is on the line of Chirag Shah from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. So my question is with respect to SMR and SMP. See, when I look at sequentially the revenue that SMR SMP has done, is far better than the volumes that your and your customers have done at their end. So is it that because they have focused on premiumization, our value addition content has gone up and it has helped us? Or is it driven by more bought-out components for us? How should one look at it? Because your revenue profile and as well as your margin profile seems to be better than sequentially as compared to your customer.
Anurag, again, very tough question, yeah, but I'm sure Vaman has a good answer for that. But no, but this is one particular fact which actually alludes to the fact that criminalization is happening. So that's what we have been saying. But anyway, I think Vaman can add also.
No, sir, I mean, it, again, it depends. It's hard to give you an answer when you don't tell me which customer you're looking at, which product. And again, you have to understand that the customers that SMR and SMP are supplying to, they're different platforms. You know, the same platforms are not being supplied by SMR and SMP. It depends on that location, depends on how those things are doing. And, you know, SMR has a lot of more business, you know, for example, in Korea, which SMP doesn't have. SMR has much more business in India, which Korea doesn't have, which SMP doesn't have. So, you know, it's very difficult to look at SMR as compared to SMP because, again, the number of bought out parts, definitely the premiumization is definitely happening. And, you know, that business has been with us also slightly longer than SMP. But difficult to compare SMR and SMP, but, you know, the SMR management team the entire SMR, the backward integration that we have, you know, the entire wiring harness, plastic parts, actuators, these are all parts that we are doing ourselves. In SMP, there are still more bought out parts. So, again, you know, difficult to compare the two, but SMR has the team has definitely been congratulated that they have navigated this turbulent times with a lot of control and being able to breathe much faster in the market.
Yeah, thank you. Second question is on this bought out component. What are these components that you have that generally that a lot of fitment would be going in cockpit or something like that, but why generally that bought out component share goes up when there is a higher premiumization in our revenue and vice versa? So conceptually, I think it would be helpful.
So, you know, because there are camera systems, for example, in we talk about mirrors, to give you a very simple example for you to understand, I think that low entry-level cars are not having as many camera systems or, you know, actuators or power fold. They're more on the manual side. You know, they don't have EC glass, which is, you know, those reflective glass, which is a bought-out part. So, you know, it depends. As SMR is also going and doing backward integration, we started making some of our own glass, for example, in certain areas where it made sense, some places we buy. So we look at those examples of where it makes sense to do it. Some of them, they're IP protected. For example, the EC glass is heavily IP protected. It's very difficult to break into that and you know, buy that part. But in SMP, there are that much more parts because the parts are much bigger. So there are a lot more child parts. In SMR, the child parts are smaller and something that, you know, they were well integrated from the start. So, again, very difficult to compare SMR to SMP. But, you know, SMR is quite vertically integrated and, you know, we do have a lot more control over the entire bought-out parts, at least on the lower side. As we go into premium, of course, like I said, EC glass and all those kind of other electronics, which we are not present in, they're all bought out parts in that sense.
But even in SMP, can we presume that as premiumization happens, the bought out component tends to increase, or in SMP it is largely stable? Because child parts will be common whether you make the high end version of a client or a A3 versus A3.
Sure.
The child part would be largely stable in SMP.
Yeah, sure. No, you would add more sensors, the radars, cameras, you know, grills. So there's a lot of parts over there that, you know, as you go more premiumization of those parts, you're also doing more bought out. No? Because if you look at it, these are more outside facing fascia parts, so the more electronics, etc. If you look at the premium vehicles, they have a lot more sensing technologies than some of the other ones. But yes, the painted components, the child parts, those plastic parts, they are mostly the same. The difference comes more in the electronics features.
Yeah, thank you. I'll come back for more. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is on the line of Sonal Gupta from L&T Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thanks for taking my question. Sir, just wanted to understand your statements around the PKC that you've mentioned in the presentation. and I think Pankaj sir has already talked about it, but could you give some more color? I mean, like, primarily trying to understand this new product launch related cost. So, I mean, like, is this a regular feature for you, or is this something really a one-off? I mean, just trying to understand that, or are these in some newer facilities where these products are ramped up and therefore there is a higher cost, product launch related cost?
Both actually, but I'd give Pankaj the chance to explain. I think just understand that under these circumstances, we actually transported almost about 400 people from different parts of the world, majority coming from India, to Serbia where this problem happened. So it's a one-off thing, but Pankaj, if you can explain it quickly, then I think everybody understands.
Sure. Pankaj mentioned that, sorry, can you hear me, sir?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So as I mentioned earlier that we had got new orders. These were the OEMs and the products which we were not supplying earlier, those trucks. And one launch was to happen a year ago, and the other one was to happen at this time. And somehow, due to COVID challenges, the launch got delayed and both launches happened at the same time. So we got into challenges mainly because there were supply chain constraints, there were component shortages during this period, and which compounded the problem. And that's why we had these as a one-off. These are not, your question is it normal? No, these are not normal, and they were not supposed to be normal because both the launches would have been about a year difference, 12 months difference. So one launch happens and then the next launch takes place. But this compounded the situation, and that's why we had these additional costs, which are one-off.
So, okay. So like,
supply chain constraints, on the other hand, the supply chain constraints are still continuing. And we do still see supply chain constraints happening. So it's not just linked to this launch. This launch has got compounded with that, but otherwise supply chain constraints have also impacted our efficiency in other parts of the world as well.
Exactly, Pankaj. In fact, 1 year ago, we were breathing with the market, and since the launch got delayed, we actually had let the people go, which we had trained in that place because we have to breathe with the market. And then when suddenly the launch came back, and then you know, it was real complication. But I think Pankaj and his team have done a phenomenal job. Somehow try to keep the customer lines running. We've been air freighting the delivery. So it's a one-off thing for sure. But yeah, these are things that we have to do because at the end of the day, you have to be on your toes. In these conditions, the last 1.5 years, and I think going forward another year, you're going to be on your toes. You have to be making sure that the customer is trusting you, is increasing, and we can clearly see that the customer is very, very happy. And also, I think this particular thing was actually first time entry into a particular customer and a huge order, and it got delayed, postponed by a year. So, you know, that's the thing that we face, but it's an opportunity. It's there. We walk into a big customer in Europe, so worthwhile.
Sure, sir. So just on that, like you mentioned that we had to, transfer some people from India and a lot of other places to Serbia to ramp up this order. So basically we had some, like you said, and also because of the COVID last year, you had to let go of some people. So is that the thing that there was a frictional sort of issue in terms of the manpower availability, and that is what led to the higher costs?
How is it a frictional issue? I didn't understand that. But yes, we have to transport people from India to Europe. That involves costs. And people are coming from Brazil, from Mexico, everywhere to come and help out. That's the nature of Motherson. If one is in trouble, then all of the companies are going to go and help that company out. I think it's a great example of the ability to bring global resources into one place to solve. And even though it's painful a bit, but it shows the camaraderie which Motherson especially enjoys.
Right. And the other part was on, again, around the copper price. Like for India, we see that it's roughly around maybe somewhere around 15% to 20% in a broad range the cost of copper versus the wiring harness content or overall. So would that be the sort of number for PKC, or would it be even higher in terms of copper content?
The copper content in trucks is usually higher than passenger cars, because most of the, you know, the wire thicknesses, lengths, everything is more, so you have to see the voltage drop and the robustness and the vibration sense. So it's generally more thicker cables in the truck side.
Okay, sir. Great. Thanks so much for answering the question.
No worries.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, sir. My first question pertains to this one-off cost which we indicated for PKC. So is it substantial, or can you give a number, or it's not very big?
Pankaj, would you want to? But I would understand if you don't want to. Go ahead.
As I mentioned, that it's a compounded issue. So it includes expedited logistic costs, which include the cost of the human resources who are brought in to support. So their stay charges, their charges to bring them to that country, because we needed experienced people to smoothen things up and smooth launches. And also due to the supply chain constraints, so all these things got compounded. So it's very difficult to kind of break it down. And on the copper side, we had approximately, you know, a gap of about 9.7 million euros of difference between the price at which we would have bought copper and did the difference. So it's a overall cost would have been in the range of, apart from copper, all these things put together would be in the range of about 9 to 10 million more. So that's how it is.
Okay. Sorry, what was the state for copper?
Some of it we would have recovered, but not much as of now. So we do not factor in what we have not yet recovered.
Sure. What's the impact of copper, you said? About 6 million euros? I did not catch that number.
I mentioned about 9.5 million euros would be the impact of copper.
Okay, understood. Second question pertains to, again, the PKC side. From structural perspective, I mean, we are seeing some movement towards hydrogen, both on ICE as well as the fuel cell side. So how is PKC positioned in that technology, and how is how would be the content difference between ICE versus hydrogen ICE and fuel cells?
We work with
Go ahead, Pankaj, go ahead. I just wanted to say that hydrogen, you know, is a future kind of a thing. The technology of hydrogen is to protect the fuel tank. The fuel tank people have to make a very solid fuel tank which can store the pressure of hydrogen and not get affected in case of an impact or something. It doesn't really change much of the needs of the wiring harness side and all that. So I don't understand the line of your question. What do you want to know from us about hydrogen?
Wiring harness content be very different in that vis-a-vis ICE?
No. It could be similar, if not big difference or something. Be similar.
Okay, understood.
Hydrogen has to be ignited, right? Hydrogen has to be ignited.
Right.
So, the real technology change will be on the fuel tank and the delivery of hydrogen from fuel tank into the engine. But the engine, I think, if I'm not wrong, is similar to that as an SUV engine.
Got it. And last question pertains to SMR PDV. In this quarter, we had about capex of 39 million euros. Is that a run rate which should sustain for remaining three quarters, and in turn, overall capex should be under 200 million euros, or it could be higher than this?
Wow. Our general guidance overall, not for SMRPD, this thing is still, I think, 1,800 crores to 2,000 crores. Baba, correct me if I'm wrong, would remain the same. And, sorry?
Yes, 2,000 crores remains the same. Yes.
Yeah, it remains the same, actually. So, not much difference.
Okay, got it. Thanks. And then this is my question. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Nishant Vas from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I said thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on specifically in the SAMIL subsidiary. Can see that the performance continues to be relatively better than the underlying market. So the focus point was more on the Marelli joint venture that you see. Obviously, the revenue ramp-up seems to be stronger than underlying market. A, what is driving that? Second, associated with the Marelli joint venture, you recently mentioned about a potential MOU with SMRPV and Marelli on the lighting system side. So can you shed some light, because it seems that you're expanding the scope of your relationship. So thoughts around that, please. Thanks.
Yeah, just to answer the second one first, I think we are known for that. We have multiple joint ventures with the same partners, and of course, we believe in growing businesses together. So first we started with lighting, then we got into exhaust systems suspension systems with Marelli. And the business continues to grow, and the lighting business is quite strong. So you will see more and more of that as we continue to build more and more partnerships with the same partners, because I think that shows how good the business is. Now, coming to the first aspect of your question, I think we've been saying that from the start, that this is the right time for these businesses to come into the fold of Muscle and now the new SAMIL, because the heavy lifting of the investments, making sure they have the right technologies, getting onto the right platform, that all Cycle Family is already done through our holding company, which we are merging now together with and making new SAMIL. And that was the whole thesis, that look, these companies are prime companies, they're profitable companies, they're going to grow market share, and you want to bring it to all our shareholders and continue to grow these businesses, not just in India, and have more opportunities outside as well. So this is only playing out what we have pretty much told you while you were doing this merger with these businesses. And they continue to showcase that they're in that key growth takeoff stage, which places them beautifully to be in the public history entity.
Thanks, Aman. Just a clarification, because my focus point was more on the global side of SMRPV, because correct me if I'm wrong, there aren't many companies who have lighting and plastic parts together in terms of potential bidding with customers. So I just want to understand how you plan to take it forward in terms of will you be jointly bidding for programs in the future, potentially what you're looking at customers, or what time frame you're thinking about this potential partnership to rectify. Just some sense on that.
So I think the joint venture between Marelli and Motherson is actually between SMP, not SMRPB, but SMP and Marelli. And that is more to take care of the exterior parts, which are today going to be a hallmark of electric vehicles that are coming. So that's the biggest advantage of this joint venture, because we will be making a lot of parts which are going to signify that it's an electric vehicle, and in visual and in sound, etc., you need that kind of distinction. So I think we're grateful to Marelli. They think we have the enough opportunity to market this with our customers globally. So we are very excited about that, and we are sure it's going to turn out some really good opportunities in the coming time. And sorry, Mamu, you were saying?
No, I'm just going to add on what you're saying. I think, you know, we are very strong on the exterior side, and like I was saying, you know, lighting is becoming more and more key component for branding, differentiation, and the newer vehicles that you're coming have a lot of front lit modules. So it makes a lot of sense because we're anyway in that area, and Marelli has strength in the lighting side. We have existing joint ventures, so there's a lot of trust between us, and we continue to do that. And you hear more of such partnerships with our existing joint venture partners for example, interiors and all other kind of things. To be more and more parts for to increase content per car, we will look to continue to increase there or find the opportunity.
Fair enough. Thank you for the detailed response. Just my second question is on, on PKC, but more on the growth structure as well as in terms of your order book structure. Pankaj, can you just shed some light in terms of how you're looking at, because many of your customers in the recent quarterly commentary have upgraded their growth structures for both Europe and North America. So how are you seeing the response from your customers on the same? And the associated question was also in Europe, many of your key truck customers are either collaborating with each other or trying to make an aggressive pivot following the policy regulations toward electric. So where are you seeing yourself in terms of from the early design stages on those programs and some color on that in terms of potential your future order book for PKC on the electric side, if you can share something on that. Thank you. That's all.
So we do see a strong growth coming from our customers. That's how they all are seeing. And they have very strong order books. And as we have also mentioned in our report, in our announcement today, that we do see that there have been some hiccups which they are facing because of supply chain constraints and some disruptions which have been caused due to shortage of materials, including the chips and also materials which are caused by the hurricane in Texas and then some in Europe, impact of flooding in Germany, Belgium area. But demand is very strong. The order booking is very strong, and we are aligned with most of them. In terms of electrification of the trucks, we are working with them, and we do support all their electrification requirements. So we are working in tandem with our customers on their projects proactively.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Kapil Singh from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Just one question on electrification. If you could talk about what are the new areas that we will be able to address on new products or in existing products, some major changes which could take place as electrification takes place across two-wheelers, four-wheelers, as well as commercial vehicles. What are the areas we are targeting? And whether we are working with some of these startups, there are a lot of startups in the scooter space particularly. So are we working with some of them as well? And how is the wiring harness content in those compared to ICE two-wheelers?
So I think there is huge amount of opportunity in the existing products itself that Motherson has, because all of these products in some way or the other fit in very well to the new demands. There is enough R&D people, the amount of money that we spend on finding solutions exactly what the customer needs. The recognition is by far, because there are a lot of companies that want to tie up with Motherson because we are in the specific field with which they can collaborate and they can enhance and grow their market share as well. So it's a bit too early for us to introduce you to what are the new things that are happening out there. As and when they will happen, we will come back to you to tell you. But I can assure you the competence that Motherson has developed over the past 40-odd years is related to the product design, the product tooling, the assembly of the product, and then supplying to the customer. And then also, you know, globally, we are in 42 countries. So that becomes a very, very attractive way to go beyond what.
Sorry, sir. We couldn't hear you, sir.
Sorry. Anybody else wants to add anything to this particular fact? Because we can't go specific into the product. Suman, what did you say?
So I think, you know, largely we have been engine agnostic, but depending on what the customer wants us to do, I think we will look at that. We've already heard of one partnership, as you pointed out, and we continue to make progress on those parts. We are not going to take any large bets in battery manufacturing or something like that. I think we will stick to our core and we will follow what the customer is telling us to do. And there's a lot of opportunity out there, like Papa was saying. We're getting a lot of things on our table right now and we're evaluating it. So as these things happen, as you heard about the one for the exterior lighting, you will hear more of these things as we are able to put a business case around it and have a good plan to go after some of these new products.
Okay, thanks. And do we have any update on what percentage of revenues for the quarter were coming from BEVs, and if there is any update on any additional orders we have got from BEVs?
Well, definitely we have picked up a lot of orders, but sorry, Kapil, we guide you in 6 months. Trust me, we are doing very well because you are generally seeing the car makers coming out with existing models in electric vehicle versions, and that needs, depending on the product, it needs to be tweaked a bit here and there. And that means more opportunity for Motherson. So we are not in a position just now to tell you what the numbers are, but I can tell you it's a very heavy number.
Okay, sir. We'll look forward to that at the end of this month. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question at this time, they may please press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, that would be our last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vivek Chand Sehgal for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. I would just like to take 2 minutes to try and explain to you what are the challenges are not insurmountable. They are easily able to be taken over. But the thing is, every day you have new challenges. These challenges have not come before to us. So our people are on their toes. They are looking at ways and means by which they should combat these challenges. And I think the turnover of the company and the gaining of market share that Motherson has done is alluding to the fact that we are having a great set of people. They are very, very innovative. They figure out ways and means. I mean, I was just trying to tell you that, you know, to find in the second wave time to send, that kind of number of people out from India to a new country in Europe. And Pankaj, I think we actually had to hire an aircraft to send the people there. So I'm just saying it's new challenges that you've never faced before in your life. And, how all the hat, you come out with solutions and all that. It's making us really, though we don't want these challenges, but when they come, we solve them very well. The other thing which is important is that because of these particular things, you know, our inventories are on the higher side. And that actually works in our favor double times, because if the products that we need are having a higher inventory in our factories, it also kind of helps us to hedge the raw material price increases and things like that. So we continue to do that while our eyes are definitely on the debt to the EBITDA that we have. And the general work of the finance people and the management people is to bring those particular things down, if possible, to zero. And we are working towards that. I would have had pleasure to tell you there is a lot of pain in the system. At the moment, it's more pain in the tier 2, tier 3, tier 4. And that also is a big challenge for the car maker. And, but it's also an opportunity for Motherson, because we can pick up these particular assets and stabilize them and help them. So a lot of opportunities in the future, and looking forward to your support. Thank you very much. And stay safe, stay healthy.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Motherson Sumi Systems Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.